Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you tonight to the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, and I guess that is my intro. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program. This is Michael Boldea, the host, if you will, of the Light of Truth radio broadcast. This is also the Light of Truth radio broadcast, so welcome to everybody. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking the time. There's a lot to talk about, and there's very little to talk about, depending on where you sit, depending on what you understand as far as current events playing out prophetically, and as far as the world at large. I think we're going to discuss a couple things that perhaps other people aren't talking about because they're just myopic. They're nearsighted. They see everything through a prism of no later than tomorrow. And that sort of mindset, that sort of view, that sort of perception disturbs me on a very basic level, because I think it's largely due to the myopia of the church. It's largely due to the myopia of the people of God. It's largely due to the myopia of the leadership of the household of faith that we find ourselves in such dire straits, that we see culture descending into a nihilism that is heretofore unseen, except for perhaps the Roman Empire as it began its descent towards destruction. We, if not directly, then indirectly, the household of faith is responsible for a lot of where culture is today. And I think if we're unwilling to look at the situation as it is and understand that it didn't happen overnight, and understand that it took decades for us to get to the place where we are, we're going to live with the expectation of having everything turn around within the blink of an eye. We're going to live with the expectation of snapping our fingers together, and voila, we're back to wherever we want to be. It doesn't happen that way. It took a very long time. It was a gradual descent. And I think the church wasn't there to put on the brakes. Is the best way I can put it. We weren't there to sort of wave the torch in the night and say, hey, you're headed for a fall. You're headed for a descent. Before we get into anything of substance, I would like to ask you to continue to keep Brother Douglas's wife in your prayer. The doctor said he may have found something disturbing. But we know that God is a great physician. We know that God is able to do what man cannot. And I think that this is where faith has to be activated. This is where faith comes into play. And I know that Brother Douglas and his wife have been through enough in this life. They've seen enough of the miracle-working power of God to understand that nothing is impossible with him, to understand that God is able to do what man cannot. And so even when the situation looks hopeless, even when the situation looks grim, even when the news we receive is not the news we would like to have received, we can still cling to the hope that we have in Jesus. We can still cling to the hope that we have in the knowledge that we serve a loving God who is able to do exceedingly beyond anything we can imagine. And this is what keeps us. This is what maintains us. This is what gives us strength when we feel weak. This is what keeps us pressing onward when we feel as though we just want to give up and throw our hands up in the air and just enjoy the sunshine rather than work. And there have been a lot of people throughout the decades that came in like a shooting star, if you will, and they burnt out very quickly. there's something to be said for consistency. There's something to be said for having the wherewithal to persevere when others have given up. And this, my dear friends, is no time to give up. Things are getting very interesting. There's a lot of hyperbole out there. There's a lot of exaggeration out there. There's a lot of people who don't know what to do with themselves, and so they just throw peas against the wall, hoping something it'll stick. Now the big word, apparently the big word of the day, the word of the week, if you will, is impeachment. And unless anybody can prove high crimes and misdemeanors while in office, even someone as virulently anti-Trump as Nancy Pelosi tried to rein in her party a little bit, going, "There's nothing there. Shut up." As they realize it's a big nothing burger. And one thing is certain. I think one thing is undeniable. If they try to oust this president with a perjury trap or some idiot thing that has no teeth, if there is no clear evidence of crime, which there isn't, because if there were, we would have seen it by now. CNN would be blaring it. Anderson Cooper would be knocking on your door saying, "Have you seen the evidence?" But there's none there. And so I submit to you, this is not prophetic, but it is a prediction based on many years of understanding human nature. If they try to oust this president with something as flimsy as a perjury trap or something as inconsequential as whatever campaign finance, something that every single administration since the beginning of administrations have been guilty of to a certain extent, including the Obama administration, which paid what, almost $400,000 because they broke campaign finance laws. If they try to do away with this precedent based on something that others have done and no one said a thing about, I think you're going to see what will likely amount to a civil war in this country. I think that those who are most vociferous in their desire to do away with this administration by any means necessary are the least likely to survive an all-out bloodletting, if you will, because that's what it will come to. They don't understand that once you let loose the dogs of war, you don't know where they're going to run. Unleash the anger, the pent-up rage that people have in this nation. Once it begins to boil over and pour out, there's no reining it back in. And like I said, the people that are yearning for this the most, the people that are exceedingly desirous of seeing war in the streets, are the least likely to survive said war in the streets. Because I tell you this, and I know that I will be judged for it, and I know that some of you will poo-poo it, and I know that some of you will roll your eyes and go, "That's not very Jesus-like." But I will defend my wife and children by any means necessary, to any extent necessary. If it's between seeing my daughters or my wife suffer at the hands of some hoodlum or putting them in the dirt, bring the shovel. Done and done. There is nowhere in the Bible where it says that you're not supposed to defend your family, where it says that you're not supposed to defend your children, where it says that you're supposed to allow hooligans and hoodlums to run roughshod over what you own because you're a Christian. the people who have adopted this mindset and this mentality, I think have done so out of cowardice. Because if it goes down, and prophetically speaking, there will be some sort of civil war. There will be some sort of revolution in this country. And if memory serves, which it does, because I repeated it often enough, it's going to be started by communists. Now, I know the socialists, not communists, same thing. They're communists. Come on. And so if the progressive wing of the Democratic Party and of the people in power somehow manage to try and impeach a duly elected president without any evidence that high crimes and misdemeanors have been performed or done while in office, then it's going to turn ugly very, very quickly in this country. There will be no walking it back. See, this is why, myopia is a dangerous thing. Being nearsighted to the point of blindness where the only thing that you see before you is impeachment and nothing else. No thought as to what the 60-odd million people who voted for the man will say when, without any evidence of criminality, they attempt to run him out of office. See, nobody is considering that. Nobody's giving that a second thought. Let's get him out first and we'll think about that later. Maybe you should reconsider. Maybe the brain trust at CNN and MSNBC, you know, Chris, my name is Cuomo because that's what it says in my underwear, should you know, take a breath before trying to instigate civil war in this country. Because that's what the media is doing. At this point, yes, the media is the enemy of the people. There, I said it. I know. Boo. It's the truth. They are attempting to instigate civil war in this country through propaganda. That's what's happening. If you don't believe it, I know it'll make you upchuck a little bit, but watch MSNBC and watch CNN for a little while and see for yourself that it's all propaganda all the time, and the news is twisted and coerced and massaged in such a way where even the best news comes out as something horrid and horrific. Now, if you really want to know what horrid and horrific is, you may have heard the name Molly Tibbetts lately. This was a young girl in Iowa, I believe. Now, when you think of high crime, when you think of murder, Iowa, not the first to spring to mind, is it? I live a stone's throw away from Chicago. Well, not really, if you could throw a stone really hard. I live about 120 miles away from Chicago. I have to drive to and through Chicago often enough, wherein if I'm in a certain neighborhood, I get very antsy and very weary. Because it's only a matter of time before the odds are no longer in my favor. If 50, 60, 70 odd people get shot in Chicago every single weekend, eventually I may catch a ricochet playing the odds. That's all I'm doing. But Iowa is not Chicago. And there are many people who have chosen to move to the centrally located states, the Midwest, the Southwest, due to the fact that there's low criminality. There's people that have picked up and moved their kids out of Detroit. They picked up and moved their kids out of Chicago. They picked up and moved their kids out of New York, L.A. And they brought them out to places like Iowa and Idaho and Denver and Montana and Wyoming. Because although you don't have all the trappings of glass and steel buildings and, you know, food trucks and whatever Indonesian cuisine, at least, you know, your kids can go play outside or go for a jog and come back whole, come back alive, come back without a bullet hole or seven in them. And so people made the sacrifice of convenience. They sacrificed the big city, if you will, for the country. Let's call it the country. They sacrificed the big city for the small town. And in large part, it's because they felt as though their families would be safer in a small town. And so when you hear of a grisly murder in small town USA, it's disconcerting at best. Now, I think the name Molly, actually it's Molly Tibbetts, is going to be on the lips of many people for quite some time in this country. Because there was a set of circumstances that played into her murder that some people would rather not come to light. And yes, to be fair, some people are overhyping and over-accentuating. To me, the most troubling thing of this entire drama is that it happened in small-town USA. It happened in a place called Brooklyn, Iowa. Didn't happen in Detroit. Didn't happen in Milwaukee. Didn't happen in Cleveland. Didn't happen in Chicago. It happened in Brooklyn, New York. A young girl was murdered. That's the short of the end of it. There really is no way of sugarcoating the fact that a young girl lost her life. Now, the person who was charged with her murder happens to be an illegal alien. Now, we've spoken of immigration in the past. I gave you my two cents, even if some of you didn't want to hear my two cents. And being an immigrant, my stance on it surprised some of you. Those of you who were born here may fail to realize is that there will be no stronger a supporter for legal immigration than people who immigrated to this country legally. By the same token, there will be no greater detractor for illegal immigration than people who came here legally. Because while they waited and they paid money for paperwork, while they jumped through every hoop that the United States asked them to jump through, some people just think that they can jump to the head of the line, get in, and that somehow the nation is mandated to welcome them with open arms. And if heaven forbid, anyone says anything such as perhaps we should vet the people that are coming into this nation, then you are labeled everything from racist to xenophobe to, I don't know, Mexicophobe. They come up with new words every day. It's fun. If you haven't heard, I'm not even going to go there. You'll figure it out and find it on your own. But apparently, they want the female anatomy to be called by a new name, and it's the most disturbing name that I could think of. But that's what they insist. So you can look that up on your own time and on your own dime, and be just disgusted on your own. I don't have to go there. Now, so the story of Molly Tibbetts. She was 20 years old. She was a college student. And she was murdered by an illegal who had been living in the United States for 4 to 7 years. And this was not accidental. This was not anything other than first-degree murder, because that's what he was charged with. And the article says that during a joint law enforcement press briefing on Tuesday, police officials revealed that Tibbetts' body was found in a cornfield in the rural area of central Iowa, and that 24-year-old illegal alien Christian Bajena Rivera has been charged with murder in her death. According to police, Rivera was the last person who saw Tibbetts jogging on the evening of July 18th in Brooklyn, Iowa. Security camera footage revealed. The illegal alien told police that Tibbetts was jogging on July 18th when he saw her. That is when he said he approached Tibbetts and started talking to her, even running alongside and behind her. Tibbetts, according to the illegal alien's story, said he needed to get away from her or she would call the police. Tibbetts then started running, and that's when Rivera said he chased her down. And of course, Señor Rivera told police that after he chased her down, he just blacked out. And eventually, Tibbetts' body was placed in a cornfield in Brooklyn, Iowa. So, a 20-year-old college student lost her life because politicians who are on the take from multinational corporations don't care about the citizens who voted them into office to begin with. That's as clear a definition of what just happened as you will hear anywhere. There are certain politicians, both Democrat and Republican, let's not just blame the Democrats, who are fighting tooth and nail not to build a wall, not to tighten up immigration policy, because there are big corporations whose bottom dollar would get affected if they wouldn't be able to hire illegal immigrants anymore. Señor Cristian Bajena Rivera apparently worked on a farm in Iowa. And had been doing so for 4 to 7 years, all the while being in the nation illegally. Now, if you hear a sound, don't be scared. It's just a train passing by. It went by, and now it is quiet once more. I apologize. I'm in studio, so there's no crying babies, but there will be trains once in a while. So, there's been a big hubbub, and rightly so, over this young girl's death and the fact that she was murdered by an illegal alien. And just to see why I have a bone to pick with Chris Cuomo, the man who looks confused in perpetuity, CNN anchor Chris Cuomo claimed on Wednesday evening that it is offensive for President Donald Trump to mention that Molly Tibbetts has been permanently separated from her family after an illegal alien murdered her. So this is how disconnected the mainstream media has become. These propagandists, these louts, that someone with the IQ of a land turtle decided that it was offensive for President Trump to mention that Molly Tibbetts had been permanently separated from her family. Referring to Trump's White House video about Tibbetts, Cuomo wondered whether these sympathizers would be as full-throated about these tragedies if the killers were white citizens, if the victims were not young white women. Okay, this is what they've been trying to do for the last 3 years. Even further, to a certain extent, guys like Al Sharpton succeeded, where everything becomes about race and race baiting. What Chris, my intellect, is that of a mentally incapacitated 2-year-old Cuomo said, is basically, would the president be as angry if it was a black girl? Huh? That's what he intimated. That's where this is headed. Apparently, there's too much outrage because the girl was white. Would we have the same outrage if it had been a black girl? Dare I say, if it had happened in Brooklyn, Iowa? Yes, because it happened in an unexpected place. It happened in a place where people move to ensure that their families are safe, that their kids can go jogging at night and not get raped and murdered by illegal aliens. It wasn't as though they were living on the border in Arizona or in Texas. And even there should be a border. People should be safe. If you cross the border into the United States, you should be safe as a citizen of the United States. And not wonder if some unwashed heathen is going to end your life and drag your lifeless body into a cornfield to be found 2 weeks later. I don't know. It seems to me that there's not enough anger in this country. Maybe it's all the soy. Maybe Alex Jones was right and there's so much amphetamine in the water it's turning frogs gay and people docile. Because the only thing you have to do in order for this story to make your blood boil is to ask one very significant question. And I don't care if you're white or black or brown or yellow or lobster red because you got burnt by the sun. Because it's a question that can be asked by any single person, at least adult person, whether male or female, especially if they're married. What if Molly Tibbetts had been my daughter? That's it. What if instead of Molly Tibbetts, it was my daughter or your daughter that got murdered and dragged into a cornfield and left there for the birds to peck at her by someone who's not supposed to be in this country in the first place? That's the only question you need to ask in order for your outrage to boil over, I think. And if you feel no righteous indignation after asking yourself this question, if you feel no righteous wrath or anger, then there's something wrong with you. But yes, Chris, I eat my own boogers, Cuomo, said that it is offensive for President Donald Trump to mention that Molly Tibbetts had been permanently separated from her family after an illegal alien murdered her. What? Wasn't it permanent? You absolute dunce of a human being. Wasn't it permanent? What, was it temporary? Is she coming back? Is she going to get in, reincarnated into a beautiful butterfly? And she's going to spend the rest of eternity on her daddy's shoulder? Wasn't it permanent, Chris Cuomo? But see, for these people, the narrative is everything. They have to twist it, every single thing, no matter how despicable they are. No matter how gross they sound, they have to twist it to try to make their point. Everything Trump does is evil. Everything Trump does is evil. How so? Why is it offensive? Because it's true? Well, I'm sorry, Chris. Sometimes truth is offensive. Sometimes truth outright hurts. And right now you have every single power player from big corporations to entrenched government types who are working overtime to undermine and unseat this president because he's keeping his word and actually doing what he promised he'd do. And all of you who cheer, oh, let him go, don't realize that these people are doing what they're doing to your detriment. Because without borders in this nation, if we were to allow what these people want to allow to happen, within 6 months' time, there would be so many Molly Tibbetses that it wouldn't be newsworthy anymore. And no matter where you took your family, to keep them safe, to protect them, they just wouldn't be. I for the life of me, I don't understand the kind of self-loathing it takes to try to undermine your nation to the point of self-destruction. I really don't. Look, you know, these people are getting paid, but none of them, again, myopia. Fine, you're getting paid a bunch of money by multinationals who hire illegals, whose profit line would be hurt if they had to actually pay living wages. If by the laws that you're attempting to implement, no place will be safe for you or your family, what's the point in having all that money? Yes, I know gated communities. Even they will be overrun eventually because if you've noticed something, all these communists and socialists are beginning to eat their own. Because they're realizing those attempting to use them are doing so for their own financial benefit and acquisition of power. So no matter how good Bernie, I'm a crazy loon Sanders sounded to the Ute, the fact that he now has three homes kind of confirms that he's talking out both sides of his mouth, doesn't it? Because if you were a real socialist, Uncle Bernie, you would have given all that money away and you'd be living in a one-bedroom apartment because that's all you really need, isn't it? You see, all these people, they're just opportunists and liars. And the average citizen, the average person who goes to work day in and day out and busts his back and just sweats 15 pounds a day working in the sun, trying to provide for their family. They're seeing all these things play out. They're seeing their nation being undermined from within. And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know how much more they're willing to take. And so the reason I went off on this tangent is because I woke up this morning thinking about my grandfather's prophecy regarding America and the fact that it would begin with an internal revolution started by the communists. Is it going to happen tomorrow? Next year? It all depends how things play out. Because you have to realize they are uncertain as to which way the populace will swing. This is why all the media outlets, all the platforms, rather, are attempting to silence conservative voices. Every single platform, Facebook, YouTube, anyone in between, Apple, iTunes, podcasts, whatever, anybody that has a conservative message is being bridled. And the reason this is happening is because they are uncertain as to which way the nation will swing in the midterms. Because as far as 2020, that's pretty much a lock if the economy keeps going the way it is. Now, what they're hoping to do is to silence enough conservative voices before the midterms in 2018 to get a majority either in the House or in Congress or in both, and then forthwith attempt impeachment proceedings. And if this happens, there will be a great bloodletting in this country. And I don't look forward to seeing that day. Again, I know what the future holds. Prophetically speaking, we've been right on this. And so I know it's coming sooner or later. But my hope and prayer is that it's later rather than sooner. Because I've got kids to raise. And I'm not one of those people that looks forward to destruction simply to be proven right. I can't be that kind of person. Because I'd rather have everyone say, you're a liar and you're a fool and you were wrong about everything, and continue to have peace than to go through the travails I know we're coming upon this nation to be ultimately proven right. To what end? That's the question. To what end? Because I understand there's this mindset. Some people just, they feel the need to feel superior to their brothers and sisters in Christ. And so every time they're half right about anything, they'll beat that drum for a decade. Look, if you are a true man or woman of God, if you are truly given revelation of God, then you shouldn't be taking credit for it anyway. It's not your revelation. It's not your prophecy. It's not your dream. It's not your vision. It is something God gave you so that you might pass it on. Conduit. No more, no less. I know, it's not glamorous, is it? But this is what somebody with prophetic gifting is. They are a conduit. It's on a message that they receive. They're a middleman. And the only duty of the conduit, the only duty of the middleman, is to pass on the message as faithfully and directly as they received it. That means you don't insert your own opinion. That means you don't add anything or take away anything. That means you speak the truth boldly. You speak it fully. And once you've spoken it, you're done. Look, I know individuals that keep talking about prophecy they had 40 years ago. And it's the only thing we talk about over and over and over again. And I understand there may be a need for repetition to a certain extent, but everything that God has given our ministry is already out there. It's in the public forum. I don't believe it's my duty to keep going back to that over and over again. Now, if I see something happening in the nation or in the world that I deem a harbinger of these prophecies coming to pass, I'll mention it, yes. As I have just now, I see a very real possibility of an internal revolution in this country. I see a very real possibility of civil unrest. I see a very real possibility of actual civil war. And up until recently, the one thing that didn't make sense much is started by the communists, how, who, when, how. Well, now we're seeing it. It's not the Russians that start the revolution. It's the homegrown communists. People who think that they can make it work, if only. Talked about this before at length. Socialism doesn't work. It never will. It never can. Sounds good on paper, but it could never be implemented properly. So, are we on the eve of something truly horrendous happening in this country? I think that only time will tell. But I think that given the climate, given everything that's going on, it is a very real possibility. And I just got sent this by a friend. He forwarded it to me. Well, there you go. Rudy Giuliani. If you don't know who Rudy Giuliani is, he is the former governor of New York, and he is now representing the president. He's the president's lawyer, and he says that the American people would revolt if the president was impeached. Now, let me put it this way. I think the American people would revolt if the president was impeached without cause. And again, I come back to this. If they had any evidence of criminality, it would have been made public by now. I guarantee it. There is nothing that they have. So if they do attempt to impeach the president without cause, yes, then Rudy Giuliani is right. The American people would revolt. And the article says this. Thanks, Dave, for sending it, by the way. In an interview with Sky News, Rudy Giuliani claimed there was no reason for an impeachment and called Mr. Trump's former lawyer Michael Cohen a liar. You could only impeach for political reasons, and the American people would revolt against that, he said. Cohen admitted on Tuesday to paying hush money at the request of a candidate revealed by his lawyer to beat Donald Trump. How can paying off somebody influence the 2016 election? Again, that's just such horse pucky. Anyway, this is where we're at. We went from what? Russian collusion. Remember that? Remember the good old days where it was about Russian collusion? But see, there was nothing there with that. There's nothing there with this, but they're going to keep pressing and going because the other side doesn't know how to lose well. So they're just going to keep hammering and hammering for the next 6 years, keeping this administration from doing what the people mandated that they do, or getting them to do as little as possible, because they're busy with all these other tertiary things. But yes, apparently Rudy Giuliani does believe that the people would revolt if the president were impeached. And as I said, without cause, yes, most definitively, I do believe that the people of this nation have had enough of dirty politics and dirty lawyers and scuzzy backroom deals and gotcha games. Personally, I don't think they're going to try. I think they're going to try to harm him politically as much as possible, but they're not going to try impeachment because they know they've got nothing. It's better to have the illusion of criminality then actually take it to trial and realize that all of your hearsay and all of your allegations and all of your accusations are false. So it's better to have that cloud hanging over you than to actually push it and be proven a liar. And if they don't have any evidence, they have nothing that hints at criminality, but they can make accusations, and guys like Peter Schiff and others can come on every other day and you know, stir the pot, if you will. Because this is the nation that we live in. And if not now, then later, but it's coming. And when it does, when the hammer does drop, I think a lot of the people that were really hankering for it are going to shy away in terror from the monster that they created. See, that's another thing that nobody's taking into account. You can't control a mob. It's not one hive body. Everyone's there for their own specific reasons. Everyone's there for their own vested interests. And if you're fool enough to spark violence and allow mob mentality to take over, then where it goes is anybody's guess. Now, last week we talked about the Catholic Church and the pedophilia disaster that has taken place here in the United States, especially in Philadelphia. There was apparently enough pressure on the Pope to compel him to make a weak statement condemning pedophiles. But this goes so much deeper, and it's so much worse, because most of these monsters will never be brought to justice. And the reason they won't be brought to justice is because they're being aided and abetted by the largesse of the Catholic Church. And that's disturbing on many levels. They're being sheltered and protected by what is supposed to be a conduit to God. And what they've done is so criminal. What they've done is so beyond the pale that merely allowing them to retire or resign or step down is inconceivable to me. But yes, the Pope did make a statement and they're hoping against hope that the story goes away. They're hoping that the people get tired of talking about over 1,000 children, over 1,000 boys and girls being sexually molested by priests, men in authority, spiritual leaders and whatnot. And this only in Philadelphia. And to make matters worse, because, you know, matters could always be worse, and this is one of those cases, some spokesperson for the Catholic Archdiocese actually came out and tried to explain that acts of pedophilia have lessened over the last 30 years in the Catholic Church. That makes it worse. Because there should be no mention of it in the Catholic Church, period, or any church for that matter. The fact that you're pointing out that it lessened makes you as much of a monster as the people trying to protect those guilty of these monstrosities. So, yes. What the spokesperson for the Catholic Archdiocese had to say in defense of the Catholic Church is that it has lessened. It hasn't been extinguished, exterminated, annihilated, done away with completely. He didn't say that those guilty of such monstrosities were punished, handed over to law enforcement, put in prison. It has lessened. By how much? He didn't say. So if over the course of 30 years there were 1,000 children that were molested, and now it's only 998, well, that has lessened, hasn't it? I despise people who try to defend evil using wordplay. You can't defend something like pedophilia. I'm sorry. It's just indefensible. no matter who you are, it's just something that you cannot defend. And if you know that an institution, or if you know that somebody is guilty of that, then you don't go out of your way to protect them and keep them from justice. You expose them for the monsters that they are and let them swing. We're talking about children having their innocence robbed from them. So, pardon me if I feel no sympathy. You'll pardon me if I don't go out of my way to understand their mindset. Because that's the new narrative, isn't it? Well, we have to understand where they're coming from. They're coming from the pit of hell. That's where they're coming from. Any other questions? I don't have to understand where a pedophile's coming from, because I already know. That's the end of the story. There's nothing more that needs to be said. If you stole a child's innocence, you deserve the worst that this world has to offer you, without mercy or reservation. And no, I don't need to understand. I understand enough. But it's the times that we're living in is the society where you have to be sympathetic to their struggle. What struggle? You picked a career where you could victimize children at will. There was forethought to it. Don't give me this nonsense about struggle. Anyway, it seems we're out of time. I got off on a tangent again. I think I hear Gino in the background, so if he's there, you've got about 30 seconds, Gene. Thank you all for joining us.
All right, brother.
We'll see you next week. God bless. Good night.
Thank you, Mike. Boy, I tell you, my heart breaks when you hear about what happened in that diocese. And I agree with Mike. Destroy a child's life about as low as you can get. Either way, keep the Tibbetts family in prayer. We'll have this show up online when I get back off this trip that I'm on. We pray that you would be touched. Pray for Douglas's wife. God bless you so much. Thank you for listening to the show.